Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, May 16th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the latest film and TV news. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer and box office analyst Ryan Scott.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
All right, Ryan, we have some news to talk about. We actually have a bunch of news that's happened over the past couple days. I'm trying to dole it out slowly over the next few episodes so we don't just sort of have like a supersized episode here and sort of ruin ourselves for next week. But there's like a group of stories that I thought it might be interesting to talk about together.
Now, Ben, and here I assumed you had me on today because you knew it was the 10th anniversary of Gareth Edwards' Godzilla and thus the birth of the MonsterVerse. But you know.
Oh, wow. Well, happy birthday, Godzilla, or sort of re-birthday, I guess, as it were. Man, are you like actually doing anything to celebrate that? I know you love that movie.
I do love that movie. I'm doing this week's Tales from the Box Office will be about Godzilla. But no, I just any jokes aside, it's kind of a big deal because that's become a hugely successful franchise. And yeah, so, you know, anyway. Yeah, so okay. Keep an eye out for Tales from the Box Office this weekend, guys.
Okay, cool. So there's some stories that I thought would be interesting to talk about together. Mostly they involve Netflix and sort of home video and things like that. Netflix has struck a deal with the NFL and created basically its biggest investment in live sports yet. It's slowly been sort of experimenting with doing stuff in the live space and particularly in live sports. And now it's sort of snagged some sort of white whale basically with the NFL. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So for the listeners that do not know, the thing that makes the least sense about me, if you know anything about my other interests, is that I am a gargantuan NFL football fan. I was literally born during Monday Night Football, and I always joke that I was the second most important thing going on at the time because my mom is also a huge football fan. So one thing that's for, and here's why I'm going to get to, if you are not a sports fan, please don't tune out because this does matter to you. I promise. So here's the deal. Streaming has started to hit this point where bigger companies are starting to cap out on subscribers. So that's why you started to see this password crackdown stuff, and that's been working. That's why you started to see the cheaper ad tiers come in. That's been working. That all ties in here. So what happened is people have been sort of reporting that Netflix might be chasing some sort of sports deal for maybe the past year or so. And now finally what we have is that the Netflix for the next 3 years, beginning this year, they are going to be the exclusive broadcaster for the Christmas Day NFL games. And again, if you don't follow sports, if you look at the end of the year at the top live broadcasts of any given year, almost all of the top 10 slots belong to NFL games. So they are big, big, big draws, especially like these Christmas Day games. So yeah, so this year the NFL is getting those two, or the NFL is giving those two Christmas Day games to Netflix, and next Christmas, and then in Christmas 2026, Netflix will get at least one of those games. Now, here's the thing. Yes, maybe a bunch of these people are already subscribed to Netflix, so it doesn't matter. But the difference with a football game is even if you're paying for an ad-free tier, there are ad breaks in a football game, whether you like it or not. So Netflix is going to be able to sell a bunch of ads to its partners in those football games. And this also for the NFL further gets them into streaming. The NFL has been proactive about the idea that, yes, traditional TV is dying. The NFL Sunday ticket rights went to YouTube TV beginning last year. Thursday Night Football now exists on Prime Video. You're starting to get more Monday Night Football games on ESPN Plus and stuff like that. Like, we had an exclusive playoff game on Peacock last year, which resulted in almost 3 million signups for Peacock. That's why this is all important. It is a way for streaming services to get more subscribers that they were missing out on, because sports is one of the last things that can do that. But also with sporting rights, because they're expensive and because people seek them out, it is one of the last ways that these streaming services can justify raising prices again. And streaming needs to essentially start making up revenue that is being lost by cable somehow, some way. And this is one of the ways to do that. So it's a big deal, but it also, for NFL fans, we now have to look at live TV, Peacock, Prime Video, Netflix, YouTube TV. Like, if we want to watch every game, that's what we're staring down the barrel of. So it's kind of messy, but it's also just the way it's going to go.
For your experience as an NFL football fan, like I tune in occasionally. I'll watch like some playoff games and the Super Bowl and stuff like that, but I'm not necessarily like a every Sunday I watch football type of guy. But I know that you definitely are. And so I'm curious what you make of this in terms of just like the spreading of all of these games across all of these different things. Like, what do you think about that from a consumer perspective?
Oh, it sucks. Cause like, I think there's a huge difference between, you know, you can say, oh, football used to be on different channels. Yeah, sure. But like the way traditional TV used to work, like I don't pay for ABC or CBS. That's just on my antenna. And you can just flip channels that way. Or if you're like an asshole like me, you have two TVs set up so you can watch two different games. But like, that's very different than I have to pay for Netflix and I have to pay for Peacock, and switching between those streamers is not as simple as flipping channels. It just isn't. People can argue that it is. It really isn't the same thing, at least not yet. So that experience. And then also I was excited because NFL Sunday Ticket for years under DirecTV, which was one of the things that kept DirecTV alive, it was radically expensive, even when they introduced a streaming package. So when it went to YouTube, I thought like, oh, hey, maybe it'll finally be more affordable. It is just as expensive at YouTube, pretty much. So that really sucked. And so like that alone sucked. And then now you have to pay, you know, like I had to sign up for Peacock just to watch that playoff game last year. And, you know, I am personally exhausted by it. But look, I already have Netflix. It's not that like I'm not going to be able to watch a Christmas Day game on Netflix. It's just that I would like to sort of settle where maybe there's a unified way to watch some of it, but that's not the way it's going. So,
yeah. So do you know if the NFL has any other Christmas Day games planned, or are these two that Netflix is going to have this year the only games scheduled for Christmas Day?
So I was extremely busy yesterday, and the big deal yesterday for the NFL was that the schedule for next year was released. I have not had a chance to go over that whole schedule, but I do believe that Netflix is the exclusive home for this year. So I know one of the matchups is with the Ravens, which matters to me, you know, because they're kind of my team. The other important thing here is that Netflix is getting good games. It's Chiefs Steelers, which is a big, you know, the Chiefs are kind of the new Patriots, I guess. And then you get a Ravens Texans game. So yeah, it is that they are getting those Christmas games. They are the place to be on Christmas.
Okay.
So
I this is like really getting into the weeds, so forgive me for listeners may not pay much attention to this stuff. One of the football games that I watched last year, I still subscribe to or I use DirecTV Stream, so I have cable through that. And there, I noticed for the first time last year when I was watching, I think it was a college football game, but there was like a 4K broadcast on like a channel that I'd never heard of before of the game that I was watching. So I switched over to that. And during the commercial breaks, it just cut to like a wide angle lens of a camera that was inside the stadium and didn't actually play commercials during that break because it was like through this separate channel or whatever. And the same exact game was on ESPN or one of the other channels or something. And I flipped over, and of course that one was running commercials because that's like more of a traditional channel or whatever. So I was wondering if like this Netflix thing, if you do already pay for the ad-free version of Netflix, if that type of thing might happen here. I was wondering if you just had any thoughts on that.
I sincerely doubt that, because I think part of the deal is predicated on, you know, Netflix being able to sell Prime ad slots. But But the part of the reason you have those blackouts with ads and some of those, like every once in a while, an ESPN Plus, you'll get that. Like if you're watching a game there, it'll just cut to like an ESPN logo and be like, we'll be right back or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that has to do with like there's, so you're selling local ads sometimes, like there's local ad slots and things like that. Though when you're a streamer's ubiquitous, it's not like market specific. So like if you're watching on ESPN Plus, you could be watching anywhere in the country. And essentially, if you have an advertiser paying a local price for a 30-second ad in Philadelphia, you don't want that ad then going out to national audience because that's not what they paid for. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what that is. So anything Netflix is selling for those ads on Netflix is probably going to be, you know, national ads. I might have that wrong, but that is my understanding. And my guess is that Netflix is filling every single available moment of ad time they will have.
Yeah, it seems too benevolent for them to be like, oh yeah, even though you pay for no ads, here, we'll give you this ideal experience, like when they could very easily just throw some ads in there and make more money from advertisers.
Just to provide some context here, the reason this matters is that, like, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a second, but Netflix got rid of its like most cheap ad-free plan after it introduced its ad-supported plan, because you're making more money when you have ads. Like, that's just kind of the way it's been going. And so, like, there's a reason streaming is starting to emulate old-school live TV that way, because ads pay better than, like, that lower-tier ad-free. So, yeah, like, they're going to make a lot of money from these ads, and that's how this is going.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
So let's transition into that now. So basically, I think you and I actually talked on a recent episode of this show about how Disney and Hulu and Max are teaming up for a bundle. And then I guess just a couple days after that announcement came out, Variety reported that Comcast is getting into the mix by offering its own bundle that's going to have Peacock, Netflix, and Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
They say that it's going to be a vastly reduced price compared to anything in the market today. And once again, we don't actually have any pricing details yet. So potentially good for consumers who are trying to save money because they're annoyed by subscribing to a bunch of these different places. Maybe there's going to be some sort of discounted thing as evidenced by this language here. You know, all of that is still TBD. But the biggest thing that I was surprised by in this news, Ryan, is that Netflix is involved in this at all, because they are the industry leaders here. They are dominant in the streaming wars. They have essentially won the streaming wars, but they're one of, if not the only streaming company that is profitable right now. I know they are. Maybe another one.
Max has had a full year of profitability as well, but it's been like smaller profits. But Zaslav, for all of his awfulness, did get Max to profitability.
Yeah, and I want to say that he's like incorporating traditional HBO in that too, which like kind of complicates the matter of whether or not that's technically profitable, because you should really just be looking at Max when you're talking about that instead of everything that encompasses that. But anyway, that's like a whole separate thing. But
it is a whole
the point is that Netflix seems like the biggest, you know, dog in this doghouse or whatever. So I'm just shocked that they would even be willing to team up with these other streamers, their rivals, and say, yeah, we'll participate in this package. Like, why do you think they're doing that?
It's the same thing I just talked about. Everyone's hit most of these companies hit a cap on subscribers. So even Netflix ran up against that. That's why they started doing ad-supported plan, password crackdowns. Why they avoided, I mean, you can go back. There's old quotes. Netflix saying, we will never do ads. Mm-hmm. Well, when you stop growing, you have to change your plan. And that's what's going on here. So this is part of the idea that, like, okay, maybe this is a way that we can get people, like, maybe some people stopped subscribing to Netflix because they were tired of paying for 50 services. Well, maybe this bundle gets some of those people back. So yeah, it is all just a way to try to max out that subscriber base again. And yeah, like that. So, and you know, it's easy to understand why these other services are doing it, you know, yeah. Because like, you know, Peacock, I still like, if there's one streamer I'm looking at right now that like, you just have to throw in the towel, it's Peacock. Because one of the things people may not understand about Peacock is it's only in the United States. It's not an international streaming service. So that sort of complicates Peacock's business model, because they have to profit purely from North America. They can't be an international business. So, yeah,
they do have the Olympics coming up this year. So I'm curious to see if that becomes like a thing, like a turning point for Peacock, because like,
well, I believe they had the last Olympics as well when Peacock was in its nascent stages and it didn't sort of pop the way they hoped it would. I just listened to an episode of the Town podcast, which you and I both, and they had one of the programmers, the heads of Peacock on, and they talked a lot about like their strategy for the Olympics this year and stuff. And they've done a lot more to try to make that more attractive to people and hopefully that. But, you know, as we discussed, Peacock got that exclusive NFL game last year and that had resulted in almost 3 million signups. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not nothing. But it's easy to see why this is attractive to these other services, like even Apple on some level. But even for Netflix, they have run up against that wall and they have run up against that ceiling. So that's why I would think they're doing it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I could totally understand like why they're sort of investing in sports the way they are and trying to like, you know, they've got like some golf stuff. They've got Formula One Drive to Survive, and like they're sort of like tapping into these different sports markets in the hopes of like potentially luring people who might not have otherwise subscribed to Netflix. Like all of that stuff makes sense to me. I was just wondering about the teaming up with their rivals to offer this bundle. It kind of seemed to me like Netflix should be above that at this stage.
Well, you know, which at their dominance. I'm sorry, I got these. Netflix is partnering with, what are the other two services again?
What's in Apple TV Plus, which absolutely needs all the help that it can get, uh-huh, because most people don't even know what that is. And then what is the other one? Peacock is the other one.
Okay, so let's look at who Netflix is partnering with there. Netflix is not partnering with Disney Plus. Netflix is not partnering with Max. They're not partnering with maybe their biggest direct competition. And that rising tide in that bundle lifts all boats. So like when, like they're rising at an equivalent level to Apple TV Plus and Peacock in that bundle, right? So like they're not losing any ground every time they gain a subscriber there, right? And they're partnering with two of the smaller services. So like they're especially not like getting, you know, letting the competition catch up to them in that sense, right?
I see. Okay.
So I think there was a strategic bundle there, and that like, who are we partnering with and why? So, you know, yeah, that like Apple TV Plus is never going to be a threat to Netflix, and Apple's not trying to be frank.
Right.
Peacock theoretically could be in some way, but also I think Peacock has designed itself to be a very, very different to Netflix for better or worse. So that would be my guess.
Okay. We have an article called "It's Official, Streaming is Now Just Cable, But Somehow Much Worse" on the site right now. And it breaks down a bunch of different reasons why that's the case. One of them that I did not think about is that, one of the big reasons behind the Writers Guild of America and Screen Actors Guild strikes last year had to do with residuals, right?
Yeah.
Like the way that people have previously been paid and in the streaming era have not been paid in the same way. And the idea of these companies teaming up for these bundles, there's some speculation in our article that like maybe that has to do with ways for them to find loopholes around paying people what they're worth, essentially. Like I know that both the writers and actors won some hard fought gains as a result of those strikes, but I don't know if necessarily every single rule applies to these streamers individually as it does when they're bundled up in, you know, in different groups or something. That's still like, I'm not sure like exactly what the veracity of that is, but that I would not put it past any of these companies, let's put it this way, to find and exploit whatever loopholes they could if that was an option. So I just had not thought about that.
I definitely would think of it. And again, so this gets to the idea, and at the heart of all of this is most of these companies, save for Netflix. So you have Warner Brothers, NBC Universal, which is ultimately owned by Comcast. These legacy media companies, a gigantic part of their business came from cable television and traditional television. Disney owns ESPN. Disney owns ABC. Literally every single day that goes by, the revenue from those old sources dries up. It continues to die. So you have got to make up that revenue somewhere. And again, like you just said earlier, Netflix is the only outright reasonably profitable streamer out there. Max is getting there. Disney Plus is going to get there soon. But those margins are nothing compared to what they used to make. So yeah, you have got to get to a point. It's like straight up. And also just for like people that like movies and TV shows, these companies have got to make money somehow on that, on those movies and TV shows, or the apparatus dies. Right. So like, yeah, somehow, some way in the short term, they've got to make streaming profitable, and it can't cost more than it costs now. So like, mm-hmm. now that is not right. That the thing that goes away is you're finding a way around residuals. That is not okay. But yeah, if they can find a loophole to pay less in some way, they're going to do it because they have to. So
yeah, I think one of the things that they could do is just simply like start siphoning off or sort of selling off the rights to the stuff that's currently on the streaming services that we're paying for every month. And so basically what you're going to be getting is paying more for a worse experience.
That's absolutely what's happening. But I also think too, it's important, like, there was a report from Bloomberg, I think, going around that Apple wants to start paying less upfront, but paying for performance based like residuals.
Oh, interesting.
Where like, and you and I talked a little bit about this, I think, I don't remember if this was on Slack or on the podcast, but where, oh no, it was me and BJ. I apologize. Slash Film Daily listeners will be very familiar with BJ, but we were talking a bit about, like, I think that Blumhouse model for film production might have to start kicking in at a higher level, where you could have had something like The Fall Guy, where Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, David Leitch, these people took way less money up front, and they only made money if the movie made money. Mm-hmm. Now, that would get your initial cost down, and they're essentially betting on themselves. I think that might start becoming a more prevalent model in the industry overall. For better or worse, right? Like, I think that, like, and I also think, though, on some level, a company, like, it does make a little bit of sense. Like, let's say the company executes a marketing campaign well, does its job. It's not necessarily super fair that, like, people walk away with a gigantic paycheck for something that wasn't successful. So I see that. Like, I understand it's maybe not going to be popular, but, like, I think that might be something we start moving toward. And as evidenced by the idea that Apple is sort of maybe exploring that. So I don't know. But
yeah, something definitely has to change, because obviously things can't continue on the exact track that they're on right now. It's just like unsustainable on multiple fronts. So
yeah, the sheer upfront cost. And again, this is Netflix was partially to blame here, where to attract people, they started buying out everything that those people might have expected to make, you know, where Dwayne Johnson was getting $20 million to make Red Notice. And like, people started expecting that in streaming, and so it's just gotten incredibly expensive to make streaming stuff, but that can't necessarily continue to be the case.
Yeah. Okay, so our last story for today, the article is called DVD Isn't As Dead As You May Think, says director Kevin Costner. And there's just some interesting quotes from Costner in this interview that he did with Deadline. He obviously has Horizon Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 coming up later this summer. And basically, he was having this conversation with the folks at Deadline about DVD and sort of the reality of film viewing habits and stuff like that. And I wonder if you could take me through some of the highlights of that, Ryan.
Yeah, for sure. So I kind of brought this to the Slash Film folks. I was just reading through this interview with Costner, and because I'm fascinated by the idea that, much like Francis Ford Coppola with Megalopolis, and what I did not know the first time you and I talked about Horizon, I believe on this podcast, is that this is Costner's own money. I didn't know that. I was a little nervous about Warner Brothers investing in this movie, but as it turns out, Warner Brothers is just on the hook for distribution. Costner has invested at least $100 million and likely more by the end of the four films he intends to make. And he is fully going to make these four films no matter what. Like, he's pot committed. And so Deadline was talking to him about, you know, the financial realities and this and that. And he goes, so the first part of this quote is, the reality of that is the film lives and whatever are the viewing habits, I own it for the rest of its life. Would you want to own these two pieces for the rest of your life? Hell yeah. And every 5 years, license them around the world, relicense them here in America. The difference is I own that because of the risk I've taken. And that was like the, you know, the last part of that is he goes, it's because those movies continue to make money well beyond their opening weekends. And then the interviewer asked, even with the death of DVD, and this is where it got interesting to me, Kevin Costner goes, what's dead? DVD is not dead at all. That's what they'd have you believe. Maybe it's not making the same amount of money, but just try to go ask for that from the studio. They won't give that up. A lot of people like my movies, they can't go to a theater and they're waiting for that moment. You can't make your film for the opening weekend. You have to make it for its life. Now, this is a man speaking who has invested $100 million of his own money to make these movies. And I do find it fascinating that, like, you know, he has I found that point very compelling that, like, okay, fine, DVD's dead. Go negotiate a contract and ask the studio for the DVD rights. They're going to tell you no. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point. Like, you know, it may not be the money that it used to be, but it's something. And, you know, when we look at, like, the DVD of that Russell Crowe action movie from earlier this year, Land of Bad, has been sold out on Amazon all week. Oppenheimer sold out last year. Like, it's still a thing. It may not be what it used to be, but it's still a thing. So I did find that pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, on one hand, you know, you actually wrote this article and you have some stats in the beginning about how, like, sales of DVD and Blu-ray discs were down 25% last year, even though home entertainment, which is, like, largely driven by VOD, was up, like, almost 17%, basically. You mentioned that Disney is shutting down their movie club and handing its physical media business over to Sony, which we talked about on the podcast before. So, like, objectively, the reality of what's happening in Hollywood right now is that physical media is nowhere near what it was. But he's basically saying, like, I found the point to be kind of interesting too, because he's basically saying, like, you know, it's more than just the opening weekend totals that really matter, especially for older people like Kevin Costner, older movie stars who have older audiences who have been with him for the past 40 years or whatever, who, you know, if you look at the numbers of people who actually go out to the movies every week or month or year, older audiences just are not in that demographic. So, like, but they still like watching movies, obviously, and they still like keeping up their favorite stars and all this stuff. So, like, he's saying DVD is, like, strategically important to a specific subset that Hollywood kind of often just ignores. And, like, yes, those numbers are not as great as they once were, but, like, there's still some value there. So, yeah, it's just an interesting thing to think about. I don't know if you had any other takeaways from that.
Well, he's just talking about the, and it's also like, yes, don't get me wrong. I even mentioned in the article, like, I'm a box office analyst by trade. Like, you guys, most of you listeners probably know me. And if you follow me, that's why you follow me. And the box office is remarkably important. And it's going to be remarkably important for a movie like Horizon, but it is about the life of the movie. You know, you look at a movie like Shawshank Redemption that bombed 30 years ago, and it is odd to call that movie a bomb, but there's no other way to frame the way that movie performed in theaters. But you want to try to take those rights away from the studio? They're going to go, hell no. You know why? Because that thing still plays on cable all the time. It still sells DVDs. It still sells every time a new media format comes up. People buy it, like me, who love that movie. So yeah, mm-hmm. Over the life of a movie and over the life of something like Horizon, especially if all four of these movies are good and this ends up being, like, you know, some Avatar-like saga, but for people who like Westerns, yeah, for the life of this movie, it's going to play. So I see his point, and I did find it kind of interesting.
Most of the conversations that I've had about physical media over the past few years have been with, you know, you, my colleagues, you know, people like Chris and Jacob and whoever else who actually, like, still cares about this stuff and you know, goes out and buys this stuff. You don't often hear major directors and actors talking about the home media market these days. So I just thought it was kind of notable on that front too, because like that conversation seems to have, I mean, occasionally you'll get like a Ben Affleck or a Matt Damon or something sort of wistfully recalling the days where, you know, the DVD market helped prop up Hollywood in a major way. But even those conversations aren't as prolific as they once were.
No, but I even wrote a story for us a couple of years ago about, it was at the San Diego Comic-Con. I was at Kevin Smith's panel, and he talked about the reason Clerks 3 got made is because Jay and Silent Bob Reboot sold so many Blu-rays for Lionsgate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they were, and so that was another one for me where it's like he straight up got a movie greenlit off of Blu-ray sales. You know, so it's like it is not inconsequential. Like, yes, you know, people like me and you see a lot of the conversation online about like serious collectors or whatever. But this is why when Best Buy got out of that market entirely and Target starting to get out of that market, I'm like, I think they're missing something. And like that Costner audience is probably what they're missing. But Walmart, on the other hand, is like almost doubling down on it in some ways. So I think like that Costner audience is, you know, Walmart's going to benefit there. And so, you know, it's not dead and it probably won't ever totally die for a while. So, you know, it's at least nice to hear a guy like Costner kind of go to bat for it. And he was almost like goaded into it. He didn't plan to talk about that. It's just that like someone touched on something for him and he's like, hold on here. And I sort of like that. He just was like, let me explain to you why you're wrong. And, you know,
yeah. Hey, I had not heard about the Walmart thing. So that's interesting. I'll have to read into that. But,
Walmart's, for those who don't know Walmart, like, so Best Buy used to get a lot of like exclusive Steelbook releases and stuff. And now Walmart's kind of taking over that business. And so there's a lot of, you know, Walmart is not getting rid of its physical media by any stretch. And I think that what they're doing is they're sort of filling a hole where, you know, Best Buy and Target are sort of leaving behind. Walmart is aware someone's going to want that and they can sort of take that over in the same way that we talked about, I think a month or so ago that, you know, Sony is taking over Disney's physical media business where Disney's like, this maybe isn't enough for us to worry about. Sony's like, we'll happily take your money. You know, yeah. So it's kind of like there will be people there to fill those holes because they do understand that it's not dead.
Cool. All right. So before we wrap up, I wanted to read a few 5-star reviews. Earlier on the podcast, earlier in the week, I mentioned that if folks leave 5-star review for us, I will read it on the podcast. So I'm going to do that now. Jay Temkin says, Ryan Scott is the best. Ryan's the best analyst I follow. So thank you for that. CB2Step says, fun and smart. I listen every day. iFanboy, best comics podcast, says best daily news podcast for film lovers. Great variety and episode topics from box office and news to interviews and reviews. PizzaRat42, gotta love that username, says must listen for film nerds, long live Slash Film Daily. There are a few more that folks have already written in, so I'm going to save those probably until next week to read, but thank you so much for people jumping on and answering the call to leave us those reviews and ratings and stuff, because as I always say at the end of every episode, that stuff like really does help us get in front of a different set of eyes, and you know, it, appeasing the algorithm in this form helps keep the show alive and keep us going. So I really do appreciate that. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find much more about everything that we talked about at slashfilm.com. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Save big money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals. Save big.